Welcome back to Dragon Football Weekly preseason show for 2023. I'm Tucker Green alongside Jess Walker, and we are very excited that it is football time in Georgia. And after a few months without much fanfare when it comes to football, we are amidst the start of high school football season again in Georgia, Jess.
Yep, we're going to be back this week for the regular season. Several schools have already kicked off their season, so to speak, with some scrimmage matchup, jamboree matchups. I know I got the opportunity to work with the Cherokee crew last year on our sister broadcast for WLJ. Last week I got the opportunity to work for the Cherokee crew and cover Cherokee versus Creekview scrimmage. And so I'm excited to be back on my hometown Dragons for the regular season this upcoming week.
Yeah, and we're very excited. I know both of us as proud alumni to be covering the Dragon football team again this season, all season long. We'll be bringing the weekly podcast that you can listen to wherever you listen to your podcast, simply by searching for Dragon Football Weekly. We're excited to bring a more in-depth look at the team behind the scenes, and we're very glad to have the support of Coach Myers down there and his staff, and a lot that allows us to talk to him, talk to players, kind of see what's going on and behind the scenes, and give the fans really the best look they can have of the team, just like we have in the past. And of course, we'll cover every football game on Friday nights. You can listen to us WPGY 93.7 and 98.1 FM radio, or streaming online all season long, home and away games. I want to go ahead and recognize our sponsors, who without them this would not be possible. And we got growing support there, several returning that we appreciate. But grateful for all of our sponsors: Community Bank of Pickens County, Northside Hospital, Pueblo Cantina, Alpha Insurance, Bill Lawrence Agency, Pickens County Recycling, Culver's of Jasper, ETC, Jape Services, and Piedmont Mountainside Hospital. So grateful to have all of them supporting our broadcast of Pickens football team this season, and be sure to support them any way you can. They're great businesses within our community, and again, we appreciate them. Focusing a little more on football, Dragons finishing up last year overall 5-6. Better showing on the region side, 4-2 overall in the region. I know there was a little bit of disappointment in the first half of their season, but they really got the ball rolling in the second half, Jess, and were able to get a playoff opportunity, unfortunately losing that game to get to the 5-6 overall record. But slow start, but a strong finish. Kind of end up about 500 on that season, but what were kind of the takeaways for them to build on coming into 23?
Yeah, just focusing on last season, we did get to bring some momentum into the current upcoming season with the way we finished the year, finished that region schedule strong. One point that I'm curious to see this year, is kind of an anomaly in our record, where we were 4-0 at home last year and 1-5 on the road, or 1-6 if you count the away playoff game. So this year, the schedule is a mirror image, if you will, of last year. It is the exact same order, the exact same opponents. The only difference is all those opponents that we faced on the road last season, we will face them at home this season. So that will be a good sign of whether, you know, was it road woes that we were facing when we lost those games, or were we truly just facing more difficult opponents on the road than we were at home? And you'll get to see the reverse of that this season. I'll go ahead and go through the schedule one by one. And since it is a mirror image of last season, I will also read off last season's result as well. We'll start this Friday at home versus Sonorville. I won't go too far in depth into Sonorville right now, because we're going to kind of analyze that matchup more closely at the end of this show, since it's in just a couple days away. Lost to them 27-15 last year in Calhoun. I think they've lost a lot this year, and they'll be kind of a down turn for them. But like I said, we'll dive more into that in a little bit. 8:25 are facing North Murray at home. That was one of the most exciting games we had last year in a 54-50 loss. It was a shootout. I also think they've lost, graduated some players, so something to look for there. On September 1st, we're going to be facing Fannin at home. That's another loss from last year, 38-12. We'll be off the week after that. First road game on September 15th, traveling to Dalton to face Christian Heritage, where we picked up our first win of last year, 24-22. Following week, at home versus Lumpkin, who had a very strong year last year, kind of out of nowhere. They beat us 42-7 last year and had a good enough for second place showing in the region. We got our second and final bye week the week after that. October 6th, we'll face Dawson, who won the region last year. October 13th, we travel to Gilmer to see our rival. Short trip up to Gilmer. Gilmer came out kind of hot last year, looking like they had really turned things around. They kind of had a reverse season from the Dragons, if you will, where they started off hot, finished slow. We'll see what Paul Standard can continue to build upon up there. For our eighth game of the season, we'll face West Hall at home. West Hall, not a very good season last year. They're definitely in a rebuilding phase, if you will. We'll look to see if they can improve any this year. And then we finish the season with two road tests. To the furthest we will travel all season, we'll travel to White on October 27th, and then we will wrap up with Wesleyan on November 3rd. Wesleyan, they missed the playoffs last year. You'll remember, sorry, they did not miss the playoffs. They sealed the playoffs last year with that Gilmer loss in the final minutes, basically, of the season. If those of you remember, it was a lot of drama between Pickens and Wesleyan. We were playing our final game of the season. We picked up the win versus them. It looked like that was going to knock them out of the playoffs, but then Gilmer blew a huge lead to their opponent and wound up finding themselves out of the playoffs and granting Wesleyan that fourth spot. So that's just a quick schedule rundown. I didn't mean to hope I didn't get too jumbled up there for all you trying to follow along, but definitely some exciting games in both the non-region and region schedule this year.
It will be exciting. And as you kind of noted, to kind of give what I'm excited about is to see if we can really point to progress, as we are basically doing a repeat of last year's season, just flipping locations. Now, we got a little taste last Friday. We did not cover that game. It was prior to our coverage starting for the season, but they did have a scrimmage last Friday. They did win that scrimmage. A different opponent for the scrimmage than they had last season for the scrimmage. They traveled and played Pepperell. Out of Rome area, Floyd County area, of the Pepperell Dragons. It was a battle of Dragons, and I believe it was a 10-0 final score with the Pickens Dragons being victorious. I don't know how much you were able to look into that scrimmage, Jess, but did that give us any insight at all into what we may be seeing, any projections as we gear towards week one regular season starting this Friday at Dragon Stadium?
It was certainly a better showing than last year, at least in the result of the scrimmage game. Now, last year we faced what I consider one of the top teams in the state in the Rockmart Yellow Jackets, and it was an ugly result. Now, this year we did take a step down in terms of opponent. I don't think the Pepperell necessarily an unworthy opponent, but more so on our level. It's encouraging to come out there with a 10-0. One thing, I was introduced to scrimmage football last weekend, and I was caught off guard with the rule differences. And I assume that the Dragons played under these as well, but we saw several things. I knew the kickoffs wasn't a standard kickoff. It's typically just you have the kicker out there and then two members of the receiving team, and it's either a touchback or you start at the 30. There's no return kick. Another thing that was a big notice or stood out to me is quarterbacks were wearing different color jerseys, and so there's no sacking of the quarterback. The play's blown dead once they're wrapped up. So scrimmage is a tune-up, and it's great that we could come out of there with a 10-0 victory, if you will, but there'll be a lot to be shown on the field this week as we're back to standard rules of play and one that'll actually count for our season's record.
You know, I think it's early to really get into too many projections of the season, and I think I might want to hold you so you can begin preparing. I want to maybe give your first predictions of the Dragons, maybe during the pregame show on Friday night. So people be sure to tune in before the game. We'll be analyzing that game against Sonora. Well, I think I want to hold your kind of first prediction of the season for them. But give me a little thoughts. One thing I think we can maybe look to now is clearly the Dragons struggled with their non-region schedule last year, did better with the region schedule. Any ideas yet into what we may can expect, similar, different? Any thoughts yet, Jess?
Well, yeah, for starters, I think the non-region schedule is going to be a lot lighter this year than it was. We will talk about what all Sonoraville graduated at the end of the show, but they're bringing their quarterback, Jackson Payette, and he is back, and he is an all-state preseason quarterback, but he lost a lot of his weapons. So I think they'll be a little bit weaker than they were last year. North Murray, that's another opponent that had two all-state players last year in both their quarterback and receiver both graduated. I think they will be a lot weaker this year. So I think there's some opportunities. Fannin was an opponent we expected to have an edge over last season, and that was kind of a disappointing loss. So where we walked out of the non-region 1-3 last year, I think there's a very good opportunity to flip that around and potentially be 3-1 or maybe even walk around out of there undefeated. I don't want to set the bar too high for these fellas, but I think that our opponents are going to experience a large fall off from last year in the non-region. And that's something that I want to ask Coach Myers about when we interview him here in a few minutes is how he views that non-region schedule. Last year it was tough, and I think that this year that'll come down a little bit. As far as within the region, like I said, I know we don't want to dive too much into it. I will read off the Maxwell projections. This is not the Dragon Football Weekly projections, but it's this were created by Lauren Maxwell. We talked about it a lot last year. He's a mathematician. It's basically an algorithm that uses recent stats with the most recent stats weighed most heavily. So I'll read off for you how the mathematicians see the region coming out this year. Now, one thing that doesn't take into effect is like graduating seniors or coaching changes or stuff like that. So this is purely stat-based. Keep that in mind. But they have Dawson leading up the region once again, Wesleyan runner-up, White County third place, Pickens fourth, and there is a very slim margin between us and White County there. Gilmer fifth, Lumpkin sixth, and West Hall bringing up the rear. One thing that I think stands out there is Lumpkin as the sixth school in the region. They had a strong year last year, and I think they might be able to back that up. I do like Wesleyan. They have them climbing up. They have All-State receiver Jamie Trimble. He's a great player, and I think last year they kind of fell short of their expectation, and I think they will be a force in the region this year. But that's just kind of a quick what to expect. Like I said, I gave a little bit of insight of what I agree with and disagree with there. But that's always a good outlook. Last year, they were fairly spot on as far as the projections versus how things finished up. I know West Hall, I think, was the slated to get the fourth seed last year from the projections, and they wound up, you know, bringing up the rear. So there's always some anomalies and some consistencies with these projections.
No doubt that's something that we'll look to as the season progresses and kind of use it as a benchmark of sorts. But I think that it does give a good insight into what Dragon fans can expect some this season. Now, looking at our team on some positive notes, you talked a lot about our opponents and what they're going to see personnel-wise. The Dragons returning many of their key players, of course, top of that list being their quarterback, Sam Stryker. He's going to be returning as a senior. Isaiah Williams, the big tight end, who will be a senior this year. Miguel Salco in the backfield, a senior as well. Kel Deering on the defensive side of the ball, and Cameron Darby as well, both of those seniors returning, and a number of other players that got to see a lot of field time last year. So the Dragons really going to have a pretty seasoned personnel team, and like I said, we're going to dive in to that in just a few minutes with The head coach himself, Grant Myers, will be joining us on Dragon Football Weekly, and he's going to have a few guests with him. We're going to get to talk to a couple of the players, most likely some of them seniors, about how they're preparing for their final season as a Pickens Dragon. Any thoughts, Jasper, real quick before we go to break on some of the players that the Dragons are going to be returning and how that'll give them an edge against some of these opponents?
Yeah, my main takeaway from the returning players is that group of seniors on offense that you mentioned, Sam Stryker, Isaiah Williams, Miguel Salto, among others that have been together. They won a championship as an eighth grade unit. Most of them are 3-year starters coming up this year. And so it's kind of put up or shut up for them in their senior season. They had a lot of success as youngsters and they were on the field early in their high school career. So it's kind of the year for them to put it all together and seeing, just how they can finish their careers off and hopefully, have a strong winning season, get to the playoffs, maybe secure a home playoff game. I know that was one of Coach Myers' goals last season, was to get at least a second place region finish and secure a home playoff game. We'll talk to him in just a moment about maybe some goals he's got this year, but that group, Stryker, Williams, Salto, and like I said, they're among others there. I'm really looking forward to seeing them finally put it all together in the last season of their high school careers.
We'll see how it plays out sooner than later. As we said, week one, the regular season for the Pickens Dragons this Friday night at home against the Sonora Phoenix, 7:30 kickoff time. Pregame show starting at 7 p.m. Jess and I will have coverage Friday night and all season long. On the other side of this break, as we check in with our sponsors, we'll have head coach Grant Myers and a few players of the Dragon football team as they get the first insight into what this 2023 season will bring. Please stay with us on Dragon Football Weekly. We'll be right back.
With Northside Hospital, you can look forward to new beginnings, look ahead to comeback seasons, and look up for hope and strength. Northside welcomes you into our community of care, guided by one clear direction, a mission to heal. Led by our expertise in maternity, heart, cancer, orthopedics, and more, you can move into tomorrow with confidence. For a healthier future together, look to Northside Hospital.
Feed all the hungry people in your family at Culver's of Jasper. Their signature butter burgers are fresh, never frozen, and the frozen custard is the perfect treat. Culver's of Jasper is locally owned and operated by local people who care about our community. Their passion for fresh food is as strong as their love for the community. They're proud of where they're located and how their local roots have made them who they are. Get fresh food now at Culver's of Jasper, just in front of Walmart.
Finding the right home for your family is important. The journey can be time-consuming and difficult. You want the right size, the perfect location, and great internet. ETC makes it easy to see what internet services you can get for your future or current home. Visit etcfiber.com, enter your address, and get an overview of all available services with pricing. No more internet surprises. Check before you buy. Make sure your home is right for you with ETC Ignite Internet, offering speeds up to 2.5 gigs. Call 844-708-5288 or visit etcfiber.com.
Back now on Dragon Football Weekly, I'm Tucker Green, still alongside Jess Walker, joined now by the head Dragon himself, Grant Myers. Coach, appreciate you being with us.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. I know you probably more than just about anybody is excited. It's finally football time again. And I know we're excited to have coverage of the team again and the upside of seeing what all y'all are able to produce on Friday nights. Got a little taste last Friday with a scrimmage and 10-0 victory against Pepperell. Maybe you want to share some of your takeaways from last Friday, what you were able to see.
I talked to the staff when we got back to the fieldhouse Friday evening and told the players the same thing, that this is one of those rare opportunities where, feel good because you won the game and feel good because you were able to go out there and do some things and put it on film that we executed well, but also understand that we didn't perform near as well as we feel like we probably could have. We left some opportunities out there. There's some things that we're going to have to improve on in all three phases moving forward. Special teams wise, we've got to get better at PAT field goal protection, and we have to get better at our punt protection. Defensively, there's some things from an alignment standpoint and then block destruction that we need to improve on. Then offensively, we did a great job moving the football, and then we stalled out in the red zone a couple of times. So those are things that typically you're not able to come back and talk about winning a football game, you know, if you're not able to do those, but we were able to. So told the players Friday night, guys, enjoy it, take this time, but understand we're 0-0. None of these points come with us next week when we play Sonorville. It's not like Sonorville starts off with negative 14 on the board because we got a shutout against Pepperell. Like, we're going to have to improve on our technique, our fundamentals, and our execution if we want to win this game Friday.
Now, I know I kind of went ahead and started on the scrimmage of this year, but just quickly, looking back to last year, I know disappointing or slow start probably in y'all's head to the season last year, but really picked up steam in the second half and especially in the region play. How do you build on that? How much does the prior year come into focus this year? I mean, is it a motivating factor? You're playing the same teams on Friday nights. Does that give you motivation this year when you're facing those teams?
I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head with some of that. As far as last year, we only had one team on our schedule that we had played the previous season, and that was White County. So we were, you know, watching film. We're getting a feel for these guys as the season evolves. Whereas this year we'll have played everyone the year prior, so we have a little bit better idea of what personnel looks like, what the coaching staffs, how they kind of gel, and what to expect from opposing coaches. And as far as, yeah, I mean, we got out to a slow start, not the start that any of us thought we could. You know, however, we were able to kind of rally there at the midpoint of the season and salvage this thing and get back into the playoffs. I think that that's a testament to the kids in the locker room. I think that's a testament to the guys that graduated. We had a solid senior class that we were appreciative of, you know, and now this year, you know, using some of that momentum that we finished the season with and building upon it as this group of seniors looks to make their mark.
I've got kind of something for you. We talked about Tucker hit on the slow start, the non-region schedule. And I want to talk about the importance of improving on that record. Of course, you know, we know that it doesn't affect playoffs, but it does affect your overall, it affects your confidence coming into the region schedule. How do y'all feel? I know last year we viewed that as a tough non-region schedule. I think that's the way most of us looked at it. I know that North Murray's lost a couple of their offensive weapons. Sonorville's returning their quarterback, but seemed to have lost some of the weapons around him. Do you see a good opportunity to come away with a much stronger non-region record this year?
To answer that, I think that the opportunity is there. We got off to a really poor start last year, and you know, when we all talked last week, I attributed that to several things. I think we have a much better handle on what our roster, what their strengths are, how to accentuate those strengths, and then also have a pretty good handle on what some of our deficiencies are and ways that we can mitigate those things. So being able to do that is going to lend itself to us being able to start faster. But also, again, being familiar with who we are playing is going to help us as well. I think that this team right now is very much a reflection of the coaching staff in where the strengths and weaknesses are, and they do a very good job of trying to go out and execute our game plan in a manner in which we're coaching them to.
Yeah, I think, you know, the mood coming off of the non-region schedule last year was tough, and I think that we've got a lot better opportunity, like you said, based off seeing these opponents before and that sort of thing, to come into the region schedule with a much, much better attitude, both not necessarily the attitudes on the team, but surrounding team and fan base, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think absolutely.
There's a good opportunity to get.
You know, two things are really important in high school athletics, and that's confidence and momentum. And, you know, coming out of the non-region schedule last year, we didn't have a lot of either. So we definitely want to make that a point of emphasis of having those two things. I think being able to start out on totally different end of the spectrum coming out of the fall scrimmage than we did last year is going to help lend itself to hopefully having more confidence momentum going into our first non-region game this Friday.
And switching gears here a little bit to the region. I know last year, Dawson obviously on top. Lumpkin had a kind of a surprise year. We can only control what we can control. And we want to, you know, I know your message is to do our best regardless of who the opponent is. But what do you know about, I assume Dawson is going to be tough returning. I think Wesleyan will have, or at least has the ability to have a better year than they have last year. How do you kind of see the region shaking out? Any Lumpkin County type surprises like we had last year?
I think Lumpkin is probably going to be a little bit more consistently in the conversation than they had been in the past. I don't think that last year is a true anomaly. I know the quarterback graduated, but they got a solid senior class. I think they have a really solid coaching staff as well. So I don't see them falling off the mat. You know, Dawson graduated a lot, but Sid and those guys do a really good job in terms of reloading, not just rebuilding. And I will say the same thing that I said last year in terms of the region. I think that there's, you know, five or six pretty solid football teams. I don't think there's anybody that's world beaters the way that it was when we were in the region with Cedartown in 21 that's a state championship contender. I think that you have to – the thing about this region is there's a lot of parity. You know, take Lumpkin beating us 42-7, then losing to Wesleyan 28-14, and then us beating Wesleyan 20-13 to the end of the season. You know, there's just Gilmer, okay? Wesleyan loses Gilmer, or Gilmer beats Wesleyan there, and then Gilmer loses to us and Lumpkin. And I mean, just the way that the parity within those really teams 2 through 6 finished up. I don't see there being a huge change in that, which means we have to do a really good job of preparing as a coaching staff and preparing as a football team, because each week you're going to face somebody that, if you don't play well, is good enough to beat you. Now, likewise, if you come out and execute, there's no reason that we shouldn't be able to win the game as well.
Coach, I want to touch on something. I think that from my view in the cheap seats, I think that this team has a good opportunity because you're really starting to establish some continuity now. I mean, this is your third year as head coach. You're returning both your coordinators. I think for the first time since you've been head coach that you hadn't had a change on one side of the ball or the other. Most of your staff intact. Most of your key players returning. So it certainly did lose some good seniors, no doubt, but returning a good part of your team. How does that continuity, how does establishing those norms and even you getting more comfortable in your role, so to speak, as time goes on, how does that impact games on Friday night?
I think it's a huge part as far as, you know, one, knowing what to expect week in, week out from a coaching standpoint and a player standpoint. You know, our guys now, they understand – this is going to be our process and procedures, and this is how we're going to try and go and achieve success. From a coaching standpoint, when you look at the core group, most everyone back together, we all know what to expect from one another. We kind of know each other's ins and outs, and that lends itself to more success as well. I think, and another thing that I'm going to go ahead and say is something that's been huge for us to utilize is I've got over – you know, there's over 60 players in third block weight training. The only players that are not in there are either because they're freshmen or there's a couple of upperclassmen that are not in there because of conflicts with AP classes. So when you have over 60 players of your roster of 82 in there at one time, and we're able to not only go in there and work and lift it together, but we can also go over installs. We're able to address things from a schematic standpoint that that otherwise we wouldn't be able to. I think that's a huge benefit.
No doubt. And as we wrap up, I know we talked about continuity, but there are a few new names, new faces that fans may not be familiar with. A couple of assistant coaches that left. A couple assistant coaches new to the programs. One returning I know of that was here many years ago, and maybe a couple players that are kind of going to be getting into the fold that we didn't hear as much last season. Is there anybody in particular you want to point out to maybe?
I'll just go ahead and highlight our new coaches and then some guys that are stepping into the spotlight that you know, we're expecting to take a big leap this upcoming season from a player standpoint. So I was able to hire Steve Plemons as defensive back coach. He also teaches math, and he will be our girls soccer coach in the spring. He's a guy that's coached in the North Georgia area as well as in parts of Tennessee. So he really understands what we're looking for from a schematic standpoint in terms of what our roster looks like and the type of kid that we have coming in the program year in and year out. Hired Connor Cohey, who will be helping Coach Wharton on the defensive line. He will also be an assistant baseball coach in the spring with Coach Williams. Young coach who's got a lot of energy, hungry, comes to us from Raven Gap Noguchi School, where he experienced a lot of really high-profile kids coming through in the last few years. So we've been able to utilize him some from a recruiting standpoint. And then local guy, Michael Bale, coming back on staff to help with our quarterbacks. I know he was on staff many years ago, you know, went to Cartersville for a while. And now him stepping into the fold as he has his son's a freshman on the team as well, and working with our quarterbacks and their development has been really pleasing to see this offseason. As far as players stepping into the spotlight, we've got, you know, several guys who've played a lot of football for us. Everybody that you'll talk to later in the show made first or second team, more honorable mention all region last year. Guys that all did a good job, but there's some guys that are underclassmen. There's a handful of sophomores that'll be playing for us. McCord Purdy at receiver, Hayden Jones at receiver and punter, and Mike Moonlight, some at quarterback as well in certain situations. Ezra Faber at receiver, Landon Poole at receiver, running back, and then our hybrid player on defense and Ben Wigginton will be playing some offensive line for us. We've got some juniors that did a really good job stepping up last week. Hunter Bryant, Oscar Rivera at linebacker, Tristan Bunch in the secondary, Hunter Morrow in the secondary. We'll be starting three juniors up front on the offensive line going into this week, Peyton House, Bryson Moya, Caleb Kirby. And then there's some seniors that are getting their opportunity now. Caden Browning starting on the offensive line, John Thompson, another returner on the defensive line. But a couple of these guys, we're looking to go from, you know, being good, solid, additional role players to really stepping to the forefront. Particularly with Kalen Mason in the secondary and then Cameron leading the way at linebacker for us. So I'm really excited about the connectivity of this roster. I think overall from top to bottom, particularly within our 10th through 12th grade group, this is the closest class, or excuse me, the closest team that we've had in my 3 years of head coach. And so I'm excited to see what transpires from that as we move forward.
Well, Coach, that all sounds gives the fans a lot of reasons to be excited. I think y'all got a lot of great opportunities this season, and we're just excited to get it underway. Appreciate you sharing your time with us and allowing us, Jess and I, and the fans to get an insight into what the team's looking like. I know the community's already getting excited. I've had some people stop me and people I'm bumping into out in town. How's the team looking? What are you know, things going to be like. So I'm expecting a big home crowd Friday night against Sonorville, and we wish you luck this season.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys, and I appreciate you guys taking the time to give us this platform to talk about the program. I'm really excited about this season, and I think we have the opportunity to do something really special. But, you know, that's all a bunch of words till we put in the work.
Absolutely. Coach, again, we appreciate it. Fans, stay with us. On the other side, we're going to have talk to a few senior Dragons. Stay with us on Dragon Football Weekly.
Piedmont Mountainside Hospital has been a leader of quality medical care in Georgia with 16 consecutive A Hospital Safety Grades Leapfrog Group and consistently ranking in the top 5 Atlanta hospitals in patient excellence. Piedmont offers a wide range of services and specialties, including imaging, cardiac rehabilitation, and general surgery to meet the acute and long-term needs of the community. In addition, Piedmont Mountainside offers 24-hour emergency and intensive care in Jasper and in Ellijay. Choose Piedmont Mountainside. Real change lives here.
The word community means everything to the people of Community Bank of Pickens County. Community is much more than a name to the owners and staff. They're proud to be the area's only locally owned and operated bank and have a staff that lives in our area. They've continued to offer in-person service at both of their full-service locations while also offering you the latest online banking technology. Community Bank of Pickens County, saying go Dragons during this football season. Member FDIC.
My dad has always told me, If you want something done right, sometimes that means you just have to do it yourself.
That's right. Dan Jape here with my son, Daniel, excited to share that we're doing it right again.
Introducing Jape Services.
We're the same family that has served Atlanta with reliable heating, cooling, and plumbing services for over 5 decades.
Our professionals at Jape Services are licensed, insured, and ready to assist.
And we're doing it right.
Visit japeservices.com.
From our family
to yours,
japeservices.com.
Welcome back to Dragon Football Weekly. Tucker Green still here with Jess Walker. This time we're excited to be joined on the program for the first time this season by a group of senior Dragons that are getting ready for their senior season, and glad to have them and see what all they're able to achieve this year. Guys, if you would, want to welcome y'all to the show, if you would introduce yourselves and maybe tell us your position, how many years you've been playing the game.
I'm Isaiah Williams. I played tight end and DN, and I've played all 4 years at Pickens, and I've played 6 total football.
I'm Sam Stryker. I'm quarterback. I'm number 12, and I've played 4 years.
I'm Kale Deering, number 31. I play safety, and I've played for 6 years.
I'm Cameron Darby. I'm number 42. I play linebacker, and I've played all 4 years possible.
Mason Stanfield, I play corner, number 32, all 4 years, picking high school.
I'm Miguel Salto, number 3. I play running back, middle linebacker. I played 4 years at the high school, 6 years total.
I'd appreciate having all you guys on with us today. We've got a good group of seniors. I know a lot of you have been playing together for a long time. I'll try and hit each of you with a question each. We'll see. Give the fans a little bit of insight on and what you've got to say, what you guys expect for both the team and yourselves this season. I'll lead off with Sam, quarterback. So you're kind of a leader by de facto there. But given that it's your senior season and that sort of thing, what is being a leader as a senior member of this team and the quarterback mean to you?
It means a lot. I'm the whole offense. Running through me, really. I'm the one that starts to play, and it really just means a lot to be in that position, be able to lead this group of guys.
Yeah, and I know, like I said, you guys have all been playing together for a while, like especially I know several of you on the offensive end. Was it the 8th grade year you guys won an 8th grade championship together, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll kind of bounce off that, and I'll bounce this one over. Isaiah, what would you say would define success for you guys this year as a team and your own individual goals?
Well, as a team, I would say definitely success would be winning the region championship. We know we have the opportunity to do it. We just got to work really hard to get there. And for individual goals, as far as football, I would say that like a lot of us guys and a lot of the new guys stepping up really have an opportunity to have a breakout year, all-region selections and stuff like that. We have a lot of all-region players returning, so it would be really good if we could all do that again.
Yeah, I agree. It'd be nice to get some the new names on the board out there. We'll kick it over to defense before I come back to Miguel for my final offensive question. So, Kellen and Cameron, you guys can kind of both answer this. What are you two as – I know I talked to Sam about being a leader and how quarterback, you're kind of automatically a leader. I know a lot of times that position on defense isn't as identifiable. Like I know the middle linebacker or linebacker kind of plays quarterback of the defense. Talk to me, both of you can answer this, being leaders on defense and how you communicate that, even though there isn't that obvious kind of quarterback type role.
I like how my team has to look to me to get all the calls and everything for coverage-wise. It's a little stressful sometimes, but I take pride that I can get the coverage right and that my teammates know I can get the coverage right. If I make a mistake, I know that they can help me fix it. And I know if they make a mistake, like if they get a big run, I take pride that I'm the last defense. I make sure I get them tackled. I make sure they don't get a touchdown. So I take a lot of pride in that.
As far as leading goes on defense, being the senior line, the only senior linebacker, the D-line and young linebackers look to me to really get the call right and to to make sure that really I'm like
Hey, it's a tough question. It's I put you on the spot. And I left Mason out too. That's my fault. You can also answer as well here.
Yeah, for leadership on defense, it's just really we're like three of the only seniors on the defense, so we got a lot of younger guys coming up and playing. This is their first year on varsity, so we got to help them step up to the challenge. And I mean, so far it's been good, you know, helping like we all like take part in leading the younger guys, and they've rose to the challenge. That they're starting to rise into varsity players. So.
And I'll piggyback off that, Mason, when I go back to Miguel here. So, Miguel, I know that the backfield is you've got some other members of the backfield, some underclassmen. Tell us about a couple of those names that will be sharing the backfield with you and what you do to help them as a leader both on and off the field.
Being the only senior running back is other than Kanan. They're all my friends, so having them play the same position as me, it's kind of easy to just, you know, share the plays and share the same interests, and having that position with them, it brings us together. And, you know, whenever they don't know something, I mean, I'm always, you know, I always have to, you know, get them right. And I always have to be in a good mindset to make sure that they're good for the game. If they ever have any questions, and I have to make sure they're watching film and stuff so they know what to do when they have to go in the game.
Yeah, I know from my experience in high school athletics, it's always important to have somebody that not only is the leader on, but that's kind of developed friendship off the field and stuff like that. And you guys, I think, can really instill confidence in underclassmen from once being an underclassman who maybe needed that from some of his teammates. I think that's a good way to get these guys up and coming and leave a good foundation for them after you guys move on. Tucker, you got anything for these boys before we cut them loose?
Yeah, I wanted to ask one question for the group that may seem a little odd or random, and I wanted to talk to them, and it's a question you hear some and from, I guess, the older generation. Of course, I know a lot of people reflect on rivals, Gilmer being the top rival, but even now in these days playing Fannin, which years ago used to be a rival of Pickens, and we had not played him for a long time in football until last season and things. But especially now with this new mountain region, playing people like Dawson, Lumpkin, so on, that are neighboring communities, people that probably, if you played Little League football, you probably played a lot of these teams. But it is certainly it shouldn't be a focus or any have any more weight than any other game, any Friday night. But do y'all see rivalries as still a big motivator for y'all? Do you? I know when I was in school, we wanted to beat Gilmer at anything and everything we could. Is that still a big thing in high school now? And when you look at these other teams you play on Friday nights?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I would say it's definitely a rivalry for us. Every game is, we look at it like almost a rivalry because we used to play them in the Mountain League when we were in middle school, but definitely the Gilmer one's a really special one for us.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Like I said, I figured that that it still is front of mind to a degree with players as ever before, and probably even more special for y'all being seniors and playing some of these people for the last time. And I know y'all certainly want to leave it all on the field and beat everybody you can. But anyway, we're excited about this season. Like I said, I think y'all have a lot of great opportunities, and I know that the community is excited, and supports y'all, rallies behind y'all, and I hope y'all feel that and see that this community is behind y'all. But we appreciate y'all's time and appreciate y'all coming on the show. Wish y'all good luck this season, and we'll have coverage again starting week one, Friday night at home against Sonorville. So good luck, guys, and enjoy your senior year.
Good luck, fellas.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Folks, stay with us. We'll be right back on Dragon Football Weekly with Outlook for Friday night's game.
Pueblo Cantina is Jasper's best Mexican restaurant. Local folks know they use only fresh ingredients and serve a wide variety of freshly made dishes. Restaurants come and go, but Pueblo Cantina has been open since 1997. Lunch or dinner, 7 days a week. Come to Jasper's best Mexican restaurant, Pueblo Cantina, 25 Luke Carver Drive at 53 and 515 Jasper. Go Dragons!
With Northside Hospital, you can look forward to new beginnings, look ahead to comeback seasons, and look up for hope and strength. Northside welcomes you into our community of care, guided by one clear direction, a mission to heal. Led by our expertise in maternity, heart, cancer, orthopedics, and more, you can move into tomorrow with confidence. For a healthier future together, look to Northside Hospital.
When it comes to communication solutions for your business, ETC gets it right. We've got the right internet connections with speeds up to 2.5 gig, plus 24-hour local support from experienced service providers who care about your business. We've got the right VoIP solutions, voice systems, technical expertise, and the right IT and data solutions to keep your customers right where you want them. Make the right call. Contact ETC's business team at 800-660-6826 or visit us online at etcbusiness.com for customized solutions to make your business thrive.
Back now on Dragon Football Weekly. Appreciate you staying with us this long on this episode. I know we're unpacking a lot, but it is the preseason preview for this 23 year, and there's a lot to unpack as we get ready for week one of play this Friday night at Dragon Stadium starting at 7:30. Again, we'll have coverage of that on WPGY 93.7 and 98.1 FM, as well as streaming online. Hope you'll tune in Friday night to that game if you can't make it out in person. Want to quickly thank our sponsors again that help us and provide coverage this season, all season long. Community Bank of Pickens County, Pueblo Cantina, Alpha Insurance, Bill Lawrence Agency, Northside Hospital, Pickens County Recycling Center, Culver's of Jasper, Jape Services, ETC, and Piedmont Mountainside Hospital. We just got finished up with interviewing Coach Myers and a group of senior Dragons. Jess, I really enjoyed that. I thought we got a lot of insight for the fans, both from Coach Myers, probably more on the schematics and more in depth into goals and vision. But also, it was good to hear from those seniors. You could get a lot of passion that they have for the game, for each other, for this team. They seem very close, which makes sense. As we've talked about before, this group of seniors particularly is a group that's played together for a number of years, had some success together dating back to a middle school championship, as well as some success in high school as they've worked together towards this point. But really enjoyed it, got a lot of insight again into, more importantly, the names behind those numbers, who these people are, and really what this team represents and what fans can kind of expect as this season gets underway.
Yeah, Coach Myers was able to offer us a lot, his thoughts from last season, how the summer and scrimmage has been going, what he expects this upcoming season. It was good to get to talk to all those seniors. Sam, Isaiah, Miguel Salto on the offensive end, Kel Deering, Cameron Darby, Mason Stanfield on the defensive end. A player that both staff and teammates wanted us to highlight here. Don't get the opportunity to interview everybody. Charlie Gibbons, he will be taking over the kicking duties. We saw him kind of moonlight in that role a little bit last year. He will be taking filling the shoes of the Sanchez brothers, and Coach Myers says he expects Charlie to have about an 85% touchback rate. We'll start keeping track of that Friday night and see how he can keep up there. But wanted to highlight him because we do have a limited amount of time. Unfortunately, we can't get to everybody. And, you know, we throughout the season will be sure to highlight each one of these student athletes as often as possible.
Yeah, no doubt. As we kind of shift focus into the regular season, it's upon us. I mean, opening a game Friday night again in Dragon Stadium against the Sonorable Phoenix. We traveled there for the season opener last year.
Hopefully we'll start on time this year.
I believe
it was about a 9 o'clock kick almost.
It was. It was the first time in our broadcasting careers we've had that happen. Big storm rolled through, massive rain delay. That was fortunately a night they had really been – we'll give some horrible credit for this, been very hospitable to us and put us up in the booth and the press box. So you and I were dry, but the field and the team and the fans certainly were not. And they did luckily play the game. But as you said, it was about an hour and a half late. But what are your thoughts coming in as we open the season against Sonorable? What can fans expect Friday night?
Well, just a quick recap of their 2022 season. They were 6-5 last year, 3-2 in the region. They were eliminated in round one of the playoffs by North Oconee. They're in Region 7-4A. That's our old region. For those of you who remember a couple years back, all the realignment last year, they landed in our old spot. The series record all time, 1-2. That's 2-1 Pickens, 1-2 Sonorville. So that first win for Sonorville was picked up last season, 27-16 victory on their home turf. The Massey ratings, which is another rating system we use to kind of figure out the spreads for the game. Now, these things aren't quite Vegas. They're not that fine-tuned. Again, it's an algorithm, mathematics used to figure this out. They have Sonorville favored by 11. I've got kind of a different take on that. Like I said, this is based off recent history, and I think recent history doesn't tell the whole story with what the team will have this season. But I'll highlight that in the pregame show on Friday night. Coached by head coach Denver Pate, this will be his seventh season at Sonorville. Last season was his second playoff berth with the team. He's got two sons on the team, both quarterbacks, and his son Jackson is the star quarterback from the team. Younger brother Chaz will be taking over after this season. Jackson is a preseason All-State member. He had over 1,700 yards passing, 16 passing touchdowns last year, added 6 touchdowns on the ground and over 600 yards on the ground. Incredibly talented individual, a great athlete, also he's very talented on the baseball side of things. He plays for the Texas Rangers scout team. The only problem I see with Sonorville is Jackson is not bringing back a lot of his teammates. I don't know who might be able to fill these shoes. They graduated several names. Ridge Red, if you remember him, big tight end last year. He was a heavily recruited on levels, much like our own tight end Isaiah Williams. Also loses running mates Brent Bryant and Zach Lyles. So it's kind of a mystery as to where he might go to fill those shoes and who's going to be helping Jackson Pate out on the offensive end. I've got a couple candidates. Wyatt Key, he'll be a senior running back. He saw some time last year, had 30 carries, a little over 100 yards, and he does bring back wide receiver Keegan Townsend, who had nearly 500 yards receiving and 3 TDs. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a draw off from the Sonorville Phoenix. Now, they have an incredibly talented quarterback, one of the best in the state, according to some publications. So that is always something you got to look out for. I just wonder if he's going to have a hard time trying to do it all himself. And who knows? I could be surprised. There could be some names that I found out about on Friday night that we don't know at this point yet, 3 days ahead. We'll see if there are any surprises on Friday, but I think that the Dragons have a good opportunity to pull out their first win of the season.
We will definitely dive into that a little deeper on Friday night. We'll literally see it play out under the lights. You and I will, and for those that can't make it, we hope that you will be able to follow along based on our coverage for you. We're excited. The reality is it's football time, and I know fans are excited. Jess and I are excited, and we're just grateful for the opportunity to cover this team and bring you coverage all season long, starting this Friday night with our pregame show at 7 p.m. kickoff time, 7:30, as the Dragons take on the Phoenix from Sonorville in the season opener. Again, coverage will be on WPGY 93.7 and 98.1 FM, as well as streaming online. And furthermore, we hope that you enjoy these podcasts of Dragon Football Weekly insights we're able to bring to you every week. And we hope you'll cover that all season long. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts simply by searching Dragon Football Weekly. For now, we'll sign off until we see you Friday night for the season opener, Dragons, Phoenix, in what should be a great game and hopefully a strong start to the Pickens football season. For now, I'm Tucker Green alongside Jess Walker. You're listening to Dragon Football Weekly, brought to you by Tri-State Communications Sports Network.